Dateline, February 12, 1991. Swapping bodies and snapping swords in Sengoku. This just in. Video games are amazing. They can be plotless or contain a rich narrative on par with any tome. They can be deeply detailed, requiring players to adjust hundreds of variables during play. Or they can be rigid, linear experiences with minimal player input. Best of all, even though the technology they are built with can become dated, actually playing games is a timeless activity. Cartridges and consoles all eventually degrade, but those games we grew up playing will outlive us all. If I sound extra pensive, it's because our subject this week is, at first glance, a forgotten work. Sengoku debuted on the Neo Geo 30 years ago, and few people have played it in the past 27 years. An early Neo Geo beat-em-up, it lacks the depth or sheer fun factor of its peers. It was a two-player game released at a time where four-player arcade brawlers were already standard, and its lack of recognizable characters, coupled with its non-English title, meant it wasn't likely to draw too many curiosity buy-ins from random passerby at the arcade. For me, Sengoku represents my early fascination with both the Neo Geo and the nation it hails from. It is enigmatic, it is eye-catching, and it is unambiguously Japanese. Sengoku was not the first beat-em-up on the Neo Geo, but it was certainly the best one available for the system in 1991. Ninja Combat was a launch title, and that's the nicest thing I can say about it. The moniker beat-em-up hardly seems appropriate, though, for Sengoku contains far too many magical weapons and power-ups to neatly fit into that category. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is a beat-em-up. River City Ransom is a beat-em-up. Sengoku is a mash-em-up, a blend of historical fantasy, swordplay, Japanese theater, and 80s action movies, all built around hitting the A button as fast as possible. Sengoku opens with a text crawl, telling a tale about a 400-year-old warlord returning to conquer the world, and that's all the context offered for the events that follow. It is not enough. The first stage begins in a post-apocalyptic wasteland where the initial enemies are pint-sized ninja. As soon as they are dispatched, the player, or players, are immediately whisked into the sky where they walk on the clouds and battle flags from Japan's medieval period are seen in the distance. Long dead skeletons appear and transform into flesh and bone swordsmen. Is this the afterlife? Or the past? The manual for the Neo Geo Home Edition describes the game's two planes as real world and other world. So the answer to that question is a definite maybe. As warriors from Japanese history continue to attack, even emerging, inexplicably, from a giant skull, the player is again teleported back to the modern Earth, still in ruins, to encounter more enemies. After a few more warps up and down, backwards and forwards in time, or merely space, the heroes stand atop a herd of wild horses in order to fight the first boss. Another ninja, he threatens the player in Japanese first, and if defeated, he says, "I missed!" Starting with the herald of the beat-em-up genre, Double Dragon, it was already commonplace in 1991 for these kinds of games to firmly establish a grounded setting for the players to advance through. Using maps or interstitial transitions, it was customary to demarcate a clear sense of progress from points A to B to C until arriving at the end. Sengoku tosses this tradition in favor of constant jarring leaps upwards and downwards, never offering the players even a moment of normalcy. Similarly, enemies in beat-em-ups typically walk onto the screen from outside of view, or occasionally burst through a wall for a bit of shock value. In Sengoku, enemies often run into the foreground from the background, showing off the Neo Geo's fabulous sprite-scaling tech, but they just as often phase in from nothingness. Sometimes they are standing around incognito, as if part of the background itself, only to emerge and fight. Sometimes they arrive on beast-drawn chariots. Sometimes they defy gravity and approach on the ceiling, before sprite warping to the floor. Some of the enemies are not even humanoid. There is no rhyme or reason here, and players must be ready for anything. If there is any consistency to be found in Sengoku, it is the game's unabashed Japanese-ness. In an era when many games developed in Japan were stripped of their cultural origin for export, Sengoku makes no such cuts. The title is almost unlocalized. In Japanese, it is Sengoku Densho, or Legacy of Sengoku, because the heroes are supposed to be descended from samurai who defeated the evil warlord in the past. I should clarify that Sengoku refers to a period of Japanese history where the nation's future was very much unwritten, as domestic conflicts raged across the archipelago. Akira Kurosawa's most famous epics are set during the Sengoku era. The heroes of Sengoku, by the way, are a biker guy and a cowboy. Biker guy sports a red jacket and, purposely I assume, looks like Kaneda from Akira. But cowboy, he's got long blonde hair, and he's wearing a bright blue vest with no shirt, despite what the US cover art depicts. And his purple pants, which match his purple hat, are fringed. As a homophobic teenager in the 1990s, I read both these characters as gay and laughed at them for it. As a bisexual adult in 2021, I read both these characters as gay and I love them for it. They are high on my list of Halloween costume goals. If I can't pull off obscure SNK protagonist in the city where SNK still exists, who else is going to do it? Besides the original Japanese dialogue and armies of distinctly Japanese characters, we must also address the very Japanese music of Sengoku. While some stages use rockin' Neo Geo tunes that are the essence of 1991, other stages trade synthesizers for traditional instruments and rhythmic chanting. According to the soundtrack, these songs are titled Mugen No, a subset of the ancient Japanese theatrical tradition of No. No plays use minimal set dressing. The actors deliver dialogue in a distinct, drawn-out manner, and every motion on stage is slow and deliberate. I knew none of this in 1991, of course, but I have since graduated college with a degree in Japanese studies and have seen No performed. Mugen No tells stories of the supernatural, and according to Wikipedia, quote, action may switch between two or more time frames from moment to moment, end quote. Have I cracked the case? Is Sengoku all performance, like Super Mario Bros. 3 or Altered Beast? No plays have been described as dreamlike, in part because the audience tends to fall asleep. Have I mentioned how slow they speak? And dreamlike certainly applies to Sengoku, though it is never boring. By default, the player characters in Sengoku are unarmed, and while punches and kicks are good enough to slap away the small fries, they're not very effective against the many sword-wielding enemies who appear. A well-timed melee strike can grab an opponent's sword mid-swing and break it, but I wouldn't count on pulling that off. To offset this, defeating enemies in Sengoku spawns small orbs of different colors. These orbs empower the player to wield a variety of swords for a limited time, and managing sword pickups goes a long way towards making Sengoku feel beatable. There's also Sengoku's unique gimmick of support characters. At fixed points during the journey, the heroes enlist the help of a ninja, a samurai, and a ninja dog. Players can tap a button to swap characters at any time, but these alternate forms can only be used for 60 seconds. Because they are so much stronger, they feel like heroes from another another game entirely. As with the orbs, learning when and where to switch characters is key to getting further in the game. Even with all these tricks, Sengoku is an arcade game from 1991, and it wants your money. Players get 3 lives and 6 hit points per life, but a powerful attack can take away multiple hit points, and life refills are few and far between. Collecting 10 random green orbs restores just 1 hit point. In SNK Arcade Classics Volume 1, a Neo Geo collection for PlayStation 2, PSP, and Nintendo Wii, there is a special reward for completing the first stage on easy difficulty without dying. I've beaten the game multiple times, but I am no closer to completing this task. Most playthroughs, I'm lucky if I don't use a continue on the first stage. There's also the extreme challenge of the final battle, for Sengoku is one of those games that turns into a different game when the last boss appears. Any player patient enough, or wealthy enough, to reach the finale will be tasked with fighting the resurrected warlord while flying through the air. Players automatically get special swords for this battle, and swapping characters is disabled. As far as I can tell from my research, the only strategy in this fight is to hammer that A button to hit the warlord as many times as possible before he kills you, and hope that he runs out of life before you run out of coins. Unique mechanics, distinct cultural trappings, and queer icons. Sengoku left a strong impression on early Neo Geo fans and was even ported to other consoles back in the 1990s. Along with its 2 sequels, it was later released for PlayStation 2 and Windows as Sengoku Anthology, and all 3 games would appear on Virtual Console for the Nintendo Wii. Today it is sold a la carte via Hamster's Arcade Archive series on a variety of platforms. Sengoku is a game that always stuck with me because despite lacking the replayability of many, many Neo Geo fighting games that would follow in its wake, it was an early example of what I loved about the Neo Geo and SNK. Sengoku has personality. Sengoku is overflowing with ideas. Sengoku looks and sounds unlike any of its non-Neo Geo contemporaries. And even compared to other Neo Geo games, it's waving its Made in Japan flag harder than any other game on the system at the time. Later SNK creations like Samurai Showdown and The Last Blade would harness Japanese history and mythology into better games. But Sengoku went there first, and it went there proudly. Thank you for listening to this audio version of my latest This Week in Retro column, a Retronauts exclusive for our Patreon supporters. My name is Diamond Fight, and you can follow me on Twitter at FEITCLUB. Good night!